So last week when we go through the service for the Christmas, and we try to remind it shouldn't be end up with the annual event of just usual Christmas. We should remember what is the purpose of the Christmas. What was the reason God sent His one and only Son to the earth? Today is the service for end of the year service. So rather than usual event, we'll be more focusing on the Word of God. So rather than the event, we should remember the Word of God and try to figure out what's the heart of God. So we have a difficulty in use the church building on the 31st of December. So even though today is the 29th, the Sunday service will make at the end of the year service. So we'll go through the Word of God. This is the last of the book of the Joel, the day of Jehovah must come. And chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the Joel. So we reviewed the introduction and the chapter 1 of the book of Joel last Sunday. So we are looking at the book of prophecy according to the history. And most of the time, prophets appear when the king, priest, the people, not only to break the covenant, but also keep insisting on the way they wanted to go. And they're in crisis. That is the time most of the prophets appear. So, people should listen to the prophet at such a time. But in fact, when human beings are insisted by greed, they do not listen to anything and become very stubborn. So they do not open their heart. The prophets speak of the future consequences and God's will. Thus, in the prophets, parables, symbols, apocalyptic contents are often used. So this is why there are many parable and symbolic messages and implied messages in the prophecy books. So if you do not know the historical background of when and why these prophets are sent, it is very difficult to understand, even if you listen to a sermon. Also, in fact, there are many misunderstandings for the book of prophecy. The reason why is rather than going through the whole contents of the book of the prophecy, they try to take a couple of the verses out of it. So it is hard to understand the big picture of messages and what is God's will was. This is because many churches and Christians have given up on learning the Bible correctly. Even though there are many preachers which end up rather emotional touch than the teaching true meaning of the word. For the newborn Christian, it is natural to feel difficulty when they face the Bible for the first time, because it contains over 4,000 to 6,000 years of history and the background and the message of the God. So a church and people, rather than go through the old difficult background, try to understand the historical background and the Word of God, they rather find an easier way, something easy to understand, but which end up with misunderstanding of the Word of God. It makes the people face a bit dangerous future. So what I believe is the pastor should preach what actually Bible tells us about. This is also the right of the Christian today to listen and learn and being discipled by the word of God. The prophet spoke of the future toward the servant people. For us who live today, the future which prophet proclaimed and prophesied has become the past. So it is possible to confirm the word of prophecy which has been fulfilled. Of course, there are something not yet been fulfilled and still waiting to be fulfilled. So with this historical background gives you idea which prophecy has been accomplished, which is still waiting to be accomplished. But if you don't know this historical background, there's many misunderstanding can happen and wrong interpretation can be forced. So first we should note what God wanted to tell people about in the message to the kings and priests and people of the time of the prophet. So the locust plague from the last week, first chapter of the book of Joel, it is not sure what is symbolized, but it tells us that it will cause natural damage and disaster that everyone suffers. Continue to chapter 2 shows how terrible the disaster is and explain that there is nothing worse than this in history. This warning about the disaster in the future is not only written in the book of Joel, also it was written in other prophecy book like Amos. So we go through the book, chapter 2, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of cloud and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient time, nor ever will be in ages to come. Before them the fire devours, behind them a flame blazes. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, behind them a desert waste. Nothing escaped them. It describes what will happen on Jehovah's day of discipline, when he will face unrepentant stubbornness. It describes the damage that would be caused by the swarm of the locusts that were foretold in chapter 1. Chapter 2 verse 4, his appearance is like a horse. His running is like a horseman. As I told you last week, if it says like something, like a cavalry, it means it is not a cavalry. Compare and explain for better understanding what he is trying to explain. If you overlook this fact, it will be interpreted forcibly by putting too much meaning on each word. If God wants to say the military, why would he say it is like a military? I think it would make sense if God explained it like an army compared to what seems more similar. The verse continue, verse 5. The sound of their run at the top of the mountain is like the sound of chariots, the sound of flames burning sword. Here too, it says it sounds like a chariot, sounds like a flame. So it keeps comparing and explaining something. Verse 6. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish, every face turns pale. They charge like warriors, they scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through the defenses without breaking length. They rush upon the city. They run along the wall. They climb into the horses. Like a thieves, they enter through the window. Before them, the earth shakes, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon are darkened, and the star no longer shine. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond the number. And mighty is the army that obeys his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? So in short, the discipline of God to come, the plague of locusts and drought was so severe. The day that man cannot afford is too scary. The prophet Joel now sees through the vision. How would the prophet Joel feel about terrible consequences of this disobedience of the Israelites? So to those who walk the path of disobedience, Joel shouts like a mother to repent quickly before this happened. Chapter 2, verse 12. Even now, declare the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and a mourning. 13. Rend your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he will relent from the sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind the blessing, grain offering and drink offerings for the Lord your God. It is God who always speaks with word and discipline them. But if people truly ask for forgiveness, God will turn his will. We can see the image of the mother crying with tears to persuade children to ask for father's forgiveness. Why God delay his judgment rather than sudden judgment? Because God does not accept the sin. He cleanses sin. Thus a sinner who does not repent will not be forgiven. Sin is to be forgiven, not to be accepted. So repentance without changing sinful life is just a forced comfort for one's own feelings. Sincere repent of the sin from the heart, turning from the sin, and coming back to God's promise, he forgives those who walk in the way of the covenant. So if you truly repent, then return to him, then Lord dare to pity on his people and forgive. So there are forced understanding about love of God. God and misunderstanding about sin and forgiveness. God is there to forgive the sinner when the sinner sincerely repents. God does not accept the sin. God does not forgive their people without changing. Chapter 2, verse 19. The Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nation. Here the wine is not the blood of Jesus. Oil is not the Holy Spirit. I will drive the northern horde far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land. Its eastern ranks will drown in the Dead Sea, and its western ranks in the Mediterranean Sea. And its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. The northern armies here are not referring to the soon-to-be-rising kingdom of Assyria. As we have seen through the entire content, the term military is not an army, but an analog of the swarm of the locust, which destroy everything left in the famine. Verse 21-22, "Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals. For the pasture in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vineyard, their rich." So we think that the natural phenomenon happening on earth are happening coincidentally, or just happening. But as you read the word of the Bible, you will find that it never just happened by accident. When the world encounters such a huge natural disaster, it explains the sky was angry, the sea was angry. We can guess this happened by God. God is the God of creation and the God who feeds and clothes creature. God is in charge of the entire universe, including over 6 billion people on earth and all living things on earth. So it's God's care that sun shines and it rains on time. The Bible tells us that the earth produces grain in time and bears the fruit through the God's wonderful love and grace. How does earthquake happen? How hurricane occurs? Science explains, but why is there earthquake on earth? There is no explanation why this natural disaster happening. But the Bible clearly says that God does it. God is the creator of all the universe. He makes the order, so He keeps the order. But when we walk the path of disobedience, harmony with nature, the order is broken and the relationship is broken. So when your relationship with God is broken, the earth produces thistle. The nature becomes a horrible being that damages man. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. If our relationship with God is right, we are in right relationship with nature. The heavens give proper rain, late rain, and early rain, so the land produces fruit and grains and vegetables. Chapter 2, verse 23. "Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the autumn rains because He is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before." The proper rain that makes a good harvest is also from God. The early rains and late rains in verse 23 are those words. Rice is sown in spring, but wheat and barley are sown in autumn. Early rain is not spring rain, but autumn rain, between October to November. The late rain is spring rain, between March to April. So early rain, late rain here, it actually rains from the sky. At the time when all the things were dried up and the moans and even the beasts were moaned because of the famine and natural disasters, the people of God repented and returned to God. It refers to rain that wets the dry land, for God restores the nature. So if you read it carefully, it's actually a natural phenomenon. By the way, this is often interpreted spiritually. The early rain as the Holy Spirit in Mark's upper room,
The late rain is often interpreted excessively as the rain of the falling spirit of the last days. The biblical base of most of the Holy Spirit movement today originates from these verses. A swarm of the locusts speak of the coming disaster as a result of disobedience of these people. Interpreted as the harvested army of Jesus, those who once sang back to Jerusalem, based on this word, they did such a movement, organizations that misinterpret this passage and misunderstand the full meaning of the Bible are actively involved in addition to organizations such as the Jesus Military Movement. What is wrong is, when trying to find the reason of what they are doing, they use the part of the Bible as a proof reference in over-interpretation and forced interpretation that does not fit the original meaning of the Bible. So as you now read and hear and understand the text of the Joel, the late rain is not the rain of the Holy Spirit movement today. At the time when all the land of Israel was dry as a result of the disobedience, if the people repented and returned to the covenant with God and come back to the mission, Bible says the true rain that God would fall on the land and the rain that came from heaven, restoration of the early and late rain in this text, refer to the restoration of the relationship between nature and the human beings, as well as God and the human beings. So the result comes from the verse 24. The threshing floor will be filled with grain, the pots will overflow with new wine and the oil. In this verse, wine is not the blood of Jesus and oil is not the spirit. Just the wine is wine and oil is olive oil. In the meantime, even disobedience made human life difficult, but when people return to God with the true repentance, God rains early and late rain necessarily for planting the grain and rain that would enrich the fruit before the harvest. The barren land is restored, the yard is full of wheat, and the grape and oil are restored in abundance. So see why verse 25 continues. From chapter 1 comes an accurate interpretation of the army, which has been compared continuously. I will repay you for the ease the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. Here clearly say the army is a locust. So the insect here don't mean Assyria, Babylonia, Hella, Rome. The locust was sent as if God sent a great army. The Bible makes it clear that the great army is a grasshopper, locust. Do not force interpret the word. You will have God repay them when His people repent and return. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. There is surely a recovery for those who truly repent. So there is abundant recovery, not just enduring day by day. Abundant recovery does not mean that quantity is increased. Restoration of the true relationship. Restoration as children of God, as creation people, that is why they come out of the covenant relationship at Mount Sinai. Then you will know that I am in Israel, chapter 2 verse 27. that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other, never again will my people be shamed. This is where God is with the people, Christian, the true blessing of God's people, with fame, becoming rich, and having a political power and authority are not the true blessing. The Creator God dwells in us, is true blessing. Restoring a personal relationship with God is a true blessing. So it is the supreme grace of all Christians that people live a holy priesthood and let the whole world know what the lives of the Christian is like. Thus, verse 27 tells us the pattern of recovery that results from the true repentance. Chapter 2, verse 28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In the Hebrew Bible, it's located into the third chapter. Here, afterward, is not just a continuation of the previous event. In the history, do these phenomenon appear to the people at the time? Rather, this was accomplished as the event of the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples on the Pentecostal day in the Mark's upper room in the early church period. So the early rain in verse 23 is not referring to the Holy Spirit, and the late rain is not referring to the Holy Spirit movement in the church ages. It was just a barren, desolate land of that time, which speaks of the proper rain that God gives to restore the earth by the people repenting. Here verses 28-29 is the presence of the Holy Spirit in Mark's upper room. But the prophet message was primarily directed to the those who heard the call. So this passage is not what the prophet Joel now speaks to the people of the early church, but to disobedient people at the time. With the message of the repent and the come back completely, and the Spirit of God will be with you. Indeed, God wanted to accomplish that work when people fully repented and placed on their mission. It was a promise to the people of that time. But as I said before, historically, this did not happen at the time. It was confirmed that the fulfillment of this promise through the prophet Joel was accomplished through the Pentecostal event of the early church more than 800 years later. So after such a declaration of the prophet Joel, there was no real repentance of the king, the priest, and the people until Jesus comes. And from the verse 30, we see that it has not yet been accomplished historically. We can find that it will happen at the end of the age. The passage in Matthew 24 that Jesus spoke about the end of the age, delivered by the Apostle John. Revelation verses, chapter 6, verse 12-17. When the sixth seal is released, telling what really will be done at the end of this world is clearly exactly the same as what is written in Book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 30. So the historical difference between verse 27 and 28, and it is the difference of the early church era about 800 years after from the Joel's time, and between 29 and 30, the final apocalyptic event, we can see that there is an enormous historical period in which we now live. But the prophet's message is primarily for the people of the time. Word from verse 28 says, when these people repent and turn to restore their relationship with God and their relationship with nature, they will find out the meaning of the true life for the children, young and old. By dreaming of blessing for the future, it is a hope that people return to the value of life even in the hopeless situation. When our relationship with God is restored and we live for the mission, God restores the barren and desolate the land from the plague by early and late rain. When the nation is ruined by the famine, children who never dreamed of tomorrow are able to prophesy, so people can have hope of a bright future. An old man who were dying became to dream bright future for hope. In addition, young people who are unable to find a job in the society today and are deeply dispaired with the frustration and the disappointment, they will now have a vision of living in a bright future. So this verse does not mean that all people see vision, prophecy, mysterious phenomena, because our relationship with God is restored, so there is a hopeful future, the blessed future that God promises. So when we see the world we live in today, there is despair that cannot really be broken through by old and young people. No matter how honest you try to live, there is a fear you cannot catch of others. Country seems to be jumping from the developing country to developed country. With the exception of the top few, most people cannot afford to live, eat, and breathe in today's society. The future is getting darker and harder. When I see young children, I am worried about how they can live in the future. The young people are in survival, have to live for day to day without dreaming the vision for tomorrow. Also, old people may not able to get the pension they've been working hard for. It is no different from the time when people heard the message proclaimed through the prophet Joel. How can we overcome this despair? Would it be possible to accelerate economic development and export, improve farmland, and change the farming method to develop technology? Not like that. To hold on to this hope that is spoken through the prophet Joel today, what we must do is repent and return to live on the mission given by the Lord. Live as a kingdom of holy priests of the nation, as a light and salt in the world. For those who believe in God's justice and God's faithfulness, God is with us. And as God tells us to live a life of faith even in the dark realities, whoever calls on Jehovah's name in every situation and environment, living by Jehovah's command and promises, he is encouraging that God will be tower of a refuge and the rock of the salvation even in the worst reality. So dear, believe in God. Fight the battle of the holy faith. Believe that the living and the faithful of God who are unchanging in your life. Fight the battle of faith, which is not a compromise for easy and comfortable, but honest way, narrow and bumpy. As you live such a life, you will know that God works harder and serves as our wonderful shield. Even though you are even in the darkest valley as David's psalm, if God sticks with you and His word with you, you can be encouraged. I want you to have such a testimony in your life. Not a testimony of speaking tongue, but the guidance and God's words in your life when you take a step of the faith. In chapter 3, in our view, it may always seems that evil triumphs and illegality lives better. The day of judgment will surely come in the day of the Jehovah, of justice, then people living according to the word, according to the faith, are promised to be surely restored. God will judge the word, saying, "You all have seen me ridicule, haven't you?" Thus, in the end, God promised that those people who have remembered God's promise and live under Jehovah's command, under any circumstances, will be the master and enjoy God's wonderful blessing promised to the obedient people. The prophet Joel warned of the calamity, the disaster of the nature that would come because of this disobedience. Even in the situation where the reality is worse and there seems no chance of regeneration, if the people confess their sin, repent, and keep God's divine promises and command, God will open the way of recovery in despair, as the Red Sea was divided. Furthermore, it tells us to enjoy the rich blessing and to live as a holy kingdom of priests in the nation. For those who live rightly and faithfully in the covenant with God, the day of the Lord would be a day of blessing and a day of freedom and liberation from all bondage. But otherwise, the day of Jehovah that comes to those who have lived according to their greed and lust of the world is the day of judgment and the curse. It will be the day to hell to an eternal bondage. How are you likely to meet such a day of Jehovah? We have worked diligently for year 2019. I bless you who have tried to learn the Bible and history throughout the year. Thank you for not only listening to the Bible, but for walking along the path without giving up, thinking, pondering, studying, sharing the word every week. In both church and saints, do not try hard to live according to the Bible. We can easily go wrong way and find a comfortable way. Why is this age getting so much worse? Figure out the reason for the spiritual warfare. Let us be prepared, rooted deeply in the foundation of the word in the new year 2020. Year 2019, God has always been faithful to us, like He did to deliver the Israelites from the Egypt, telling us the way of life every day, leading us to the green pasture. Even though situation is not favored to us like the people of Israel went through, the wisdom we learn from this biblical event is the way of life and the way of salvation. Being called as a child of God in 2019 and walked the path of suffering to live as a people of God. If you are walking in the path of suffering because you want to live according to the word, do not be discouraged, but have a hope. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 said, "Let us not be discouraged in doing good. If we are not exhausted, we will reap when the time comes." There are more important than how much you earn in 2019, how much more you save. How have you walked according to the value of the Word of God? It is important. You can complain sometime, but continue to work. Do not give up the way of the Lord like Moses. God led them into the Red Sea in front, angry Pharaoh, an army behind, and a cliff that could not go out on the left and the right. The crisis of the Israelites met is not a sudden situation that God didn't know, but a situation that God already know and plan how to overcome this crisis. Look back the life that God led during 2019. May 2020 be a year of faith in the history and a miracle of God. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation that the Lord does
for you today. I bless you in the name of the Lord that 2020 will be a year of experiencing these miracles. I wish you to take one way in 2020, just as you worked hard and worked one year in 2019. I wish you a happy new year to grow as a tree deep in the court of God. What is consequence of the true repentance is abundance in your life. This abundance means it's not the material, it's the presence of God and figuring out what the purpose of the life. No matter what kind of difficulty you're facing, it doesn't really matter as long as you know the destination, because this is the things on the way. This is not the end. The reason we found a difficulty and discouragement is because you probably do not know what's the real purpose of your life. This is why so many churches around the world and God still calling people to the life, not to go to the dead end. I want you to look back the year 2019. Why you are blaming God? Why you are so desperate? And do you really know who the real God is? True God is. I want you to look back based on the word. Let's pray God for the thanks, for His guidance, God of Ebenezer, who led our life today. When you pray, if you didn't live up to the word of God, repent and make a decision. Be decisive for the year 2020 to live according to the word of God. Let's have a hope and a vision for 2020. Let's pray.